Good morning.
Good morning.
The August 15, 2024 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The CoPMO, the core MPO is holding in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda. Committee reports, action items to be presented by staff, other business, status reports on current projects, activities, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For each member of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. This meeting will now be called to order. First order of business this morning is the approval of the agenda. May I have a motion, please?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Sorry.
Second, Hutcherson.
When you say so moved, you have to say who you are.
Say that again.
Say who you are.
Oh, Milton, I'm sorry.
All right, it's been properly motioned and second that the approval of the agenda. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting on my far right.
Names, yes.
Okay.
Jarrett, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Walker, yes.
Cody, yes.
Kegley, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Milton, yes.
The chair, yes. We will now go to committee reports that will be given verbal. Committees.
Good morning. The Technical Coordinating Committee met on August 1st and offered approval of all of the action items presented.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. So BPAC, Lou.
Go ahead.
So the Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee met in July, at the end of July. They had their first ever meeting, and they endorsed all action items.
All right. Any other committee reports?
Yes. We also had the first meeting of the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee. This committee is a combination of the CAC and ACAT, and both of those committees had their final meetings. The Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee is a combination of those two, and it had its first meeting at the end of July and approved and endorsed all action items.
All right. Any other committee need to report? No other committee? All right, let's get ready to go now to our action items. And the first thing under action item is approval of the June 20th. 2024 Core MPO Board Meeting Minutes. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Palumbo.
Second. Milton.
Probably motion and second that the minutes be approved. Let us cast your votes and name and votes starting to my far left.
Milton, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegley, yes.
Cody, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Mains, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right, before I go to item number two, let me stop and I want to recognize some celebrities and dignitaries. We have the mayor from Pula with us today. Who's that you brought with you?
This is my brand new intern, Jocelyn. She's in her senior year.
Good.
Intelligent young lady.
You can get anywhere from here. I thought you might have brought also your new city manager. I know. I know.
That's right, sir. I'm just He's kidding. In his office.
Let us also recognize our new city manager from Pula. I mean, I found Pula from Pula, Tybee. I'm getting it together. I know. Hey, listen. I'm not into the steel in stuff. I'm just talking about what's going. That's J-Ness getting robbed.
I like to see it as an expansion, Mr. Okay. Chairman.
That's right. Let them train them and then you take them. I don't blame you. All right. Thank you. I don't see any of the other new folks that we have. All right. So let us move on with our agenda. Authorization of the core MPO to submit the reapportionment package to GDOT.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The reapportionment package includes the boundary, which was already approved by the governor, and then the MOU and the bylaws. Since we sent out the MOU for execution by the local jurisdictions, we actually got two response letters. One is from Springfield. They don't want to be a part of the core MPO, but they're still covered. So we actually have a page in the MOU reserved for Springfield, but because they might join us in the next couple of years. And then another letter we received from is GPA. Their intention is just to indicate that based on their setup, they are not going to pay the membership dues. So we have to reflect all of that into the MOU. So the revised MOU, I'm just going to show you. So this is the MOU. Basically, for this paragraph, I removed the Springfield for now. If we need to do the amendments, and we can add Springfield back in. And then another page that we actually have for the signature page, we got signature page for everybody else except those two. And Springfield, what we included is over here. As you can see, just this page is reserved for the city of Springfield in the MOU. Regarding the George Ports Authority, the changes we made is in page 7. So basically we delete the language that the Georgia Ports will contribute funds. So they're not going to pay for the dues, and that's the change in the MOU. And then another change is in Exhibit B, just to indicate that the Georgia Ports Authority will not be assessed any dues. So that's the change for the MOU. And for the bylaws, I think at the last meeting, we have already decided that we're going to have elections for both the Core MPO board and just advisory committees. So you can see it's reflected. I mean, this is actually not amendments, but this is like at the direction of the last meeting. Just want to show you that we added this language. Election will be held every 2 years, and election will be held at the last Core MPO board meeting, and then for the next 2 years. So this is for the Core MPO board. And then for the all the other advisory committees, we also added in, because they used to have like every year they do election. Now we changed everything to every 2 years. So all of these has been updated. And another change that we have to the bylaws is because we have to reschedule our last meeting due to the hurricane, the FHWA indicated that in case that we have any like future like COVID situation, we need to include the language. So the meeting follow all requirements by Georgia open meeting law, but we need to have the ability to hold virtual meetings when necessitated by declaration of federal, state, or local emergency conditions. So this is the language that has been requested to be added. So I mean we we just think we want to make sure that we have this option if we have like COVID kind of situation. So these would be the changes that we have made. So we do have resolution just to outline that we actually made the changes based on the developments, reflect the new developments since June 2024. And so this is the resolution for that. And then we will, another final resolution, we will ask the board to ask to give us the permission to send the whole package to the Georgia Department of Transportation, because they have the last signature page. So we are expecting actually to receive the signature page from GPA today. So it will be finalized. Any questions?
Right. Any question from any board member? Any question? All right. So now let us, we need the motion and second to go ahead and send this, right?
Yes.
Go ahead and approve it and then send it.
Yes.
Okay. So the floor is open for that. Member?
I'll make the motion to approve, Kalanir.
Okay.
Palumbo, second.
From the motion and second that we approve and then send to GDOT and the governor's office the recommendations with the amendments that we had to do. The language we had to change is, any questions? Please signify your vote, starting to my far right.
Means yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Walker, yes.
Cody, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Milton, yes.
All right. Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Next.
Okay, so we will just move on to the 2050 long-range transportation plan, and I will just give the presentation, but all of the supporting documents are included, attached to the agenda. So we have been working on the 2050 MTP for 2 years. So we have to do like existing conditions, forecasting of conditions, and then develop vision and goals and develop strategies and have a project prioritizations and come up with the financially constrained plan. So this is a like 2 year process. And the difference between this time and the last time is because we have this reapportionment. So our boundaries, so basically the revenues has to be derived after the boundary is finalized. So we added in the reapportionment process during that time. So we already finished all of the steps. So we are at the last stage for adoption of the financially constrained plan. And we actually had like 3 rounds of public involvement. And this is actually the last meeting for the whole process, actually. So this is the third round. It's the first round we did a kickoff and we did survey, refine the goals and objectives. And second round, we did the updates and to about the studies and fundings. And the third round, we presented the financially constrained plan and then drafted 2050 MTP. So, and this is some of the public involvement opportunities that we have participated, because previously we found out if we host public meetings, we normally you have like several people come, but even if we did have several people come, but we actually have a lot of comments, but we decided in order to reach out to more people, we need to go to the neighborhoods, go to the like farmers market, so Earth Day. So this is some of the pictures that you see that we all went to, and we actually collected a lot of comments. And we actually launched the survey and the map survey. So at the end of the survey, we got more than 570 responses. So this is just a rough estimate. Actually, there are more because I am still receiving responses to the survey. And then we also have a more than 160 map survey responses. And you can see some of the common responses that people want to maintain the condition of our existing roadways, they want to improve safety issues, they want more bicycle and sidewalk improvements. So as you can see, and traffic calming is also come, and bus stop and transit improvements is also a very, very key theme on constantly coming from these comments. And specific comments that you can see are not only in the bike path, and people actually want a high-speed train between Atlanta to Savannah and Savannah. So. And then also others are very specific, like traffic calming on Price Street, Richmond Hill, and resiliency, because people want us to address drainage, actually. as well. These are public input. We actually put out the draft out for public review from August 1st to August, July 1st to July 30th. So since then, we actually have some updates. We finally got the Port of Savannah Renewable Project. Previously, we got the federal portion because they got the grant, $7.5 million, and then they provide a 20% match. But for this long-range plan, we need to include the total cost. So we finally got to the grant person, the new grant person to the Georgia Ports Authority. So we got their final cost. That project final cost is about $36 million. And then something also happened to CAT in July. CAT received some grant, and then they will use the grant to do three parts. One is for the zero emission buses. Another one is for infrastructure and depot charging. And then third one is for workforce development. But since the 25th MTP is mostly focused on capacity, so workforce development is not included over here. So this is just including the capital improvements in CAD. So that's the revenue updates. For project update, as you remember, we have a very, very elongate, a very long discussion about President Street at last meeting. So we were requested to rescore that project. So I just want to let you know that after that meeting, Chatham County actually sent us the preferred alternative from their President Street study that is going on. And the concept has, so we used the revised concept that includes transit connection, bicycle and pedestrian in accommodations. So that project actually got equity scores. So now the ranking has been boosted into number 3. So I just want to let you know. So as a result, this project has been moved into cost band 2. And then that has a like domino effect for the rest of the projects. So we have to rebalance cost band 2 and cost band 3. And we also have been doing the document updates because we received the comments from Federal Highway Administration, from GDOT, from the public. And as you will see the comment and response spreadsheet attached to this agenda. So we have been addressing the comments based on those. And we also, in the update, we actually, like I already mentioned, we revised the highway and transit revenue, revised the highway and transit financially constrained plan as a result of the revenue change, and added the highway project map because the draft, at that time, we didn't have the map yet. So now we added the highway project map. And we also added the system performance report because this is the second long-range plan that is performance-based compliant. And then we also developed the updated appendices. So I will present that later. So one of the comments that we received from Federal Highway Administration is to separate the constrained revenue projects and then the discretionary grant projects. So for this revenue table, I didn't change this total number, but did add a note over here. So the constrained revenues is about $402 million, and the discretionary projects is about $48 million. But if you see later that project table, the financial table, actually they are separated. So discretionary projects are separate from the rest of the constrained projects. And that's one of the comments from FHWA. And this is the project map. As you notice, many of the projects located to the west, that's because of the port development, a lot of freight impacts. So a lot of the improvements are happening on the interstate system, and then some of those like transit projects mapped over here, and then bike path projects, not all of them are mapped over here, and also some of the charging stations are not mapped over here. So I would just go over on what kind of projects are included in this 2050 MTP. So in Chatham County, we actually have Project Terrain, the three Project Terrain. So the Boulevard option is Terrain Improvements and West Terrain Improvements, and the Back River and Associated Whitening, and the Savannah River Crossing, that is only the right way that we amended into 2045 MTP and carried over. And then I-95, that is ITS project. And then the Bull River and La Strada Creek Bridge, and that has been going on for a while. And then I-16 at State Route 17, basically I-16 interchange at Little Neck Road, and I-95 at Airways Avenue. As you notice that I have revised concept because in the 2045, what we included in the in that plan for this I-95 at Airways Avenue is a diverging diamond. For this one, we actually coordinated with airport, and they actually all of these alternatives were presented at that study. So for this plan, we actually include the flyover project. We use the flyover as the concept for the cost estimating. So these are the pipeline projects in Chatham County, and then also three pipeline projects in Effingham County. All of those are Steelwell Road and Long Bridge Road and I-95 Savannah River, all three are bridge rehab or bridge replacement. These are pipeline projects. And then we also have projects with newly available funds. Grant awards funds I already talked about. One is the I-60 exit ramp removal, and another one is the Volterra Electric American Ports. And then the third one is the Port of Savannah Renewable Fuel Project. And then another comment that we received is like NEVI is a new formula program. It's not a grant program, so we separated this out. So NEVI, GDOT is going to use the NEVI funds to fund a charging station on I-16 between Gwinnett Street and Chatham Parkway. And then we have a longer-term project. Some of the longer-term projects carried over from 2045. So like including I-95 at Stairwell 21, interchange reconstruction, President Street. ICEP carry over, President Street actually has a revised concept, as I mentioned previously, because previous one was only ramp reconstruction, but this one is based on the preferred alternative from that study. So it does have a bike path and transit accommodations. And then the I-516 widening and I-516 and I-16 interchange reconstruction. And then I-16 widening from Puller Parkway to I-95. And then the Old River Road. So these would be relatively consistent with the 2045 MTP. But we also identified some new long-term projects. The first two are State Route 21 widening. So they are actually ranked number one and number two. And I am very glad to let you know that seems like GDOT is going to already doing the RFP for this project. So seems like our prioritization methodology works because they are going to implement this project. And then Fort Argyle Road widening and US 80 widening and two of the grade separations on 307. One is at State Route 21. Another one is the Norfolk Southern Railroad crossing. And then the last project, the Belfast Keller Road widening project. Even if this project is not ranked very high, but we have to consider geographic equity, because Bryan County and Richmond Hill actually doesn't have any project. In the previous plan, they actually have two projects. One is Harris Trail widening project. Another one is Port Railroad widening project. But we double checked those two roadways are local roads, so they're not eligible for federal dollars. So we actually had an individual meeting with Richmond Hill and tell them that we can probably add Belfast Keller Road is a collector. So we will add this project, but we are going to work with Richmond Hill and Bryan County to up-classify those two roadways so that they will become at least collectors or minor arterial, and then they will be eligible for federal dollars. In our financial balance, we actually have a little bit balance for each cost band. So if we need to include those, and we can use those funds. So this is the updated financial plan. As you can see, the cost band 1, 2, 3. So it's kind of tiny, hard to read, but all of the projects has been included in those. And then also, as you can see, the discretionary funds listed over here. And then remember, we also have a set aside for operational improvements and transit improvements and priority bike path projects and the maintenance. So this is the financial plan for the 2050 plan. This is the highway portion of it. And for the transit portion of it, I already mentioned that CAT received the grant in July. So they are added over here into the final project list and the revenue. Another thing is that we processed the TIP amendment in June. So preventative maintenance actually had a cost increase. So we have to accommodate that revenue increase. And then the other one, the ferry boat, that one, we have to double check because we also processed TIP amendments for CAD regarding ferry boat, but we actually checked with CAD. So we found out it's like the total cost doesn't change. It's $6 million. It's the combination of the funds that changed. So the federal portion, state portion, local portion, that changed, but the total doesn't change. So we actually verified all of that. So this is the transit portion of the 2050 MTP. We wanted to decide because people want more transit, public transit, public transportation and the bike path, as I showed you the comments based on the comments. So we decided to just do a check on that. So this is based on the latest census ECS data. So you can see actually Savannah has the least percentage of driving or highway. But Effingham County and Bryan County both have very high percentages. But for the transit, actually, the region-wide is less than, you can see, even with the Savannah, is the highest, it's only 2.2%. Bike walk Savannah also has the highest percentage, but region-wide is less than 3%. So we, if you check, and then we actually have, if you add in the highway investments, it's 85%, but it includes the funds for transit, includes the funds for bike. So I just want to let you know that. And also you can see, for the regional investment for the transit, our share is about 14%. So it's more than the 3% most share. And then for the non-motorized, we actually invested about 3.43% of the total revenue, project revenue. And, for the performance measures, so any of these projects actually addresses several performance measures. For example, if you say the top one, the bridge, so it will address safety, pavement bridge, and congestion, and the freight, because it's a freight corridor. So you can see all of these. We actually checked all of these. So bike path projects, transit projects would definitely improve air quality. So that's a check. And transit projects also helps relieve congestion. So all of those, this is just a sample. The full document actually includes the full table. So based on that, we developed the system performance report. So you can see the majority, more than 93% of the projects or investments addressing safety issues, because safety is the first priority. A lot of projects addressing congestion. And then freight, it's pretty high, it's almost 80%. So bike path transit contribute to air quality. So transit projects, including the highway set aside for transit, all contribute to transit safety and transit asset management. For pavement and the bridge, we actually mostly, this category mostly is for the bridge related projects. So some of the projects actually do improvements to pavement, but we didn't count those. So this is only counted for the bridge projects. So for the document, about 206 pages, actually, yeah, it is 206 pages. So there are seven chapters. The first chapter is overview, and then the second chapter is goals, objectives, and performance measures. And the third chapter is regional transportation network. And then the fourth chapter is public involvement process. And then fifth chapter is project selection, prioritization. And then the section six is actually the financial plan and project recommendations, which was the information that I already showed you. And then the last chapter is the impact analysis and mitigation. So that's a big chapter. And we did have the public comment period from 30 day, but since the Hurricane Debbie and we have to reschedule the meeting, we actually extended the public comment period. So people can still send us comments. As of today, they can still send us comments. Besides the full document over there, we also have appendices. Not all of the appendices are finished yet, but we're still working on those. The most important one is the system performance report, the standalone document, which is attached to this agenda. Some of the information that I already presented to you, I'm not attaching that. We're still working on finalizing those contributing plans and studies. Remember, I showed you the matrix to show you how we select the projects or how we prioritize projects. So that will be included in the contributing plans and studies. Travel demand model, technical analysis, GDOT has already sent us the appendix for that. Financial plan development, which has more detailed information than section six. Resiliency planning, Anna actually created a big document regarding, so it's scattered for all of those chapters. And the public involvement plan, now I attached the comment and response section of that plan, but the public involvement plan will include all of the public advertisement we have, all the public events that we go to. So we will have all of those details, including the materials we used. And then at the last meeting, you want us to do the 2045 MTP project selection versus 2050, particularly regarding President Street, and that is included in the comparison of the 2045 MTP and the 2050 MTP, and that document is attached to this agenda as well, if you want to review that information. And then the vision plan project list, we compiled a big list. It actually has more than 600 projects, so we are still addressing comments from GDOT. They want us to map all of those projects, which we cannot do before this meeting, but we're going to work on that, finalize the vision plan project list. And then another one is the 2050 MTP project pages. So if you just want to review, so it's like you want to see what projects included in the 2050 MTP, what that project is about, what kind of concept is included in this 2050 MTP project pages, and it also includes what project, which performance measures this project addressing. So that document is attached to the agenda. So we actually did advertise a public hearing. We actually advertised a public hearing on August the 7th, but because of the schedule changes, so we actually re-advertised just for this meeting. So before we open the public hearing, I just want to show you some of the documents that we listed over here. The 2045 and 2050 MTP, so you can see the project selection, what a consistent between these two plans, what has changed. And then the last page, you can see the scoring criteria, side by side. So this is the document. And then another document, so revised the prioritization. So because of the new concept for President Street, it actually ranked higher. So now it's ranked as number three because it's GET equity scores. So this is another one that I want to show you. And then the project, this is the big plan that we have been working on. And so all of the portions that are highlighted in this plan are the edits that we made to address the comments. So for example, you can see a lot of like charts and tables have been updated with the latest information. For example, this mode share has been updated. So using the latest information. And then the planning factors, we added in the 10th planning factor. And then the public involvement, we added big sections just to indicate that what kind of responses we received, and then how this public involvement process will impact or it will influence the participation plan update. So if you're interested, so all of this is documented over here. So these, everything that highlighted in yellow, other updates that we made since the plan went through the public involvement process. So this is the big document. And then as I mentioned, if you are really interested in reading what this project has, so you can just go to this appendix for the project pages. So you can see this is the financial plan. So you can see that what the financial plan looks like. And then you go through each project page. So it has the concept, it has the cost estimate, and it also has like performance-based performance measure, which performance measures each project is addressing. So if you don't want to read the whole document, this is the one that you can just use as the basis, just tell you what's included in the 2050 MTP plan. And the participation plan requires us to report to you the significant comments and responses that we prepared, and that is actually included in this document. So you can see on the left side you see the comments, on the right side you see the responses that we have drafted. So that's included. We actually this list like 4 pages of documents over here. And then to satisfy the performance-based planning, we also have the standalone system performance report over here. So you can see what are the targets, and then how does that relate to the 2050 MTP? So you see that, you see the performance-based planning, and then how much investment is addressing city, et cetera. So you have the statistics over here. So that's all the information that I have, and we can request the opening of the public hearing and then get your comments and discussion.
Before we get there, let me ask, is there any board member now who have any questions about what you just heard? Is there any board member? All right, let me ask you to do a favor. Go back to the big report, and I think it's around page 22 or 23.
Big report or the presentation?
The big report.
Big report. Okay. Let me just open the big report. Hold on.
I think it was around page 22 or 23 where you're talking about the public comment period. You show some dates and numbers there.
22 or 23?
Yeah, somewhere around.
This?
No, go back to, it got to be further than. Go back to where you talked about the public comment period, and then the document you got July 1 through July 31st.
Oh, that's presentation file?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's the presentation file. Okay. Let me just open the presentation file.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. This one?
You had the public comment period and you had the dates on there.
Yeah, that's the original.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that is the original public comment period because we have to, according to the participation plan, we have to do 30-day public comment period.
Right.
And after that ends, we need to have at least 3 days to address comments.
Okay, but here's my question to you. This says July 1 through July 31st, July 30th, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you said in your comments that you were going to extend it because of Debbie.
Yes.
Debbie didn't happen in July. It happened in August. It happened around the 10th of August. So we need to change. We either need to change the dates here. If we're going to extend it because of what happened with the flooding and stuff for Debbie, then it doesn't need to be July 1. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let me just show you the revised notice that we sent out. So actually we sent out the revised notice for the scheduled public hearing. Actually, we told people that they can continue to send us the comments accepted.
All right. So my question is,
until the plan adoption,
do we need to change the date that's in the document that says July 1 through July 30th? Since we extending it, do we have to change that? Because July 30th, there was no Debbie.
So
you didn't extend it because of Debbie. Understand what I'm coming from?
Yeah, but the official comment period, official comment period is still from July 1st to July 30th. But you can just send.
All right. So then my question becomes, after it closed on July 30th, right?
People were still sending comments.
All right. So how long after July 30th did they send comments? It's still getting some today?
We're still receiving responses to the survey. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now in the document, other than what you have right here, we don't need to specify that anywhere.
Okay. We don't have. Yeah.
Okay. You can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just listening. There are some folks, who are I's and T bugs like me, make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed. And I just want to make sure what we put out there is what we're actually doing so we don't get tripped up down the line. Okay.
We basically encourage people to send us comments during that time, but they constantly send us comments.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
You know how to change the document.
Okay.
All right. Now with that, and I hear nothing from nobody else, may I have a motion to open a public hearing?
Palumbo, second.
Properly motion and second that we open the public hearing. Are there any questions? Please signify your vote starting to my left.
Milton, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Jay, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Gagley, yes.
Cody, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Maines, yes.
All right, the chairman, yes. Public hearing is now officially open. Do we have anybody on the line who have raised hands?
Oh, no.
All right.
One in the public.
Okay. Nobody from the public. Is there anyone here in the audience who wants to make comments or ask questions about what you've heard about the 2050 plan? None? Going once? Going twice? She sold. All right, may I have a motion now to close the public hearing?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Cody, second.
Proper motion, second, that the public hearing be closed. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote, starting to my left.
Milton, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Cody, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Maines, yes.
All right. Now, since we've covered that part.
Yeah,
Chairman, yes, I'm sorry.
We will request the board to adopt the 2050 MTP.
So may I have a motion now that we adopt the move for the adoption of the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan?
Jarrett, move to adopt the 2050 Transportation Plan.
County and second.
Are properly motion and second. Are you ready for the question? Is there somebody calling in who want to comment?
Who's Dr. Shabazz?
Okay, she wanna comment? What?
I think she's having a hard time
to get on the line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Having a hard time getting on.
Okay.
But that too.
All right. All right.
She's self-muting, so I'm gonna send her a note to tell her to unmute herself.
All right. Let us go ahead and vote.
Maines, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Cody, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Milton, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. Fiscal year 24-27 TIP amendment.
I will be giving that report. Okay. So we received several TIP amendments throughout July, and so I will go over all of those TIP amendments. It's pretty long because we have a lot of TIP amendments, so I will move right into the updated tables. But if you're interested in any other part of the document, I can go through other parts of the document, but the meat of this information is in those updated tables. So the first TIP amendment is for the I-16 at Montgomery Street and at MLK Junior Boulevard, ramp and overpass. This is the original project page here. And then the TIP amendment is that the City of Savannah requested $2.25 million be amended into the preliminary engineering phase of the project in fiscal year 2025. So the total project cost for fiscal year 2025 would be $2.25 million, bringing the total cost to $3,150,000. Of that, the federal portion in fiscal year 2025 is $1.8 million, and the local cost is $450,000. In total, the federal portion of this project is $2.52 million. And the local cost in total is $630,000. We also received a TIP amendment to add a new project to the TIP. So this is the Volterra Electrification of American Ports Reduction of Truck Emissions at Port Facilities Grant Program. So in terms of the project description, Volterra Power, a zero emissions refueling infrastructure provider, will build a large-scale charging project near the Port of Savannah. The project will reduce emissions from port-related traffic by providing parking and charging services for medium and heavy-duty electric vehicle fleets. So for this TIP amendment, Volterra Power received a grant for $7.8 million to implement this project. The required local match is $1.95 million, bringing the total cost of this project to $9.75 million. The grant funds need to be included in this TIP so Volterra Power can access them. Moving on to another new project that is being added to the TIP, we have the Port of Savannah Renewable Fuel Project. So in terms of the project description, the GPA's authority will conduct a four-year pilot program at the Port of Savannah that will expand the use of low-emission and zero-emission equipment to carry out daily port activities and reduce port-related emissions from idling trucks. The project will replace petroleum diesel fuel used by 621 trucks with renewable low-emission diesel fuel. Moving on to the financial part, GPA received $7.5 million from the Reduction of Truck Emissions at Port Facilities Grant Program funds and will provide a local match. So the required local match is $1.5 million, and the Georgia Port Authority is also providing an additional $27 million. So the total project cost is $36.5 million. And in order to access these grant funds, they have to be added to the 2024 to 2027 TIP. This is the addition of another new project. So it's the I-16 from Gwinnett Street to Chatham Parkway, NEVI charging station. So GDOT will use the NEVI funds to deploy charging stations on this section of the highway. In terms of the financials, the total funding for this is $1.25 million. The federal portion of this is $1 million, and there is an additional portion that is $250,000.
Where's that coming from?
We were told to define it as other, but I'm not sure of the exact name of the fund source. We are also adding the Stillwell Road at Ebenezer Creek project. So moving into the financials of this project, this amendment proposes to move this project from the STIP into the TIP. The total project cost for this project is $7.3 million, and the federal cost is $5.8 million. There's also a state cost of $1.467 million, and then also a local cost of $50,000. So again, the total project cost for this is $7.3 million. Federal cost is $5.8 million. The state cost is $1.4 million. And then the local cost is $50,000. We also received a TIP amendment to add this new project. This is CR307/Longbridge Road at Ebenezer Creek, 4 miles of Springfield. So this amendment proposes to move this project from the STIP into the 2024-2027 TIP. The total project cost for this project is $500,000. Of that, the federal cost is $400,000 and the state cost is $100,000. We received a TIP amendment for the I-95 at Savannah River at the South Carolina line. This is a bridge rehab. This amendment proposes to move this project from the STIP into the current TIP. The total project cost is $17 million. Of that, the federal cost is $13.7 million, and the state cost is $3.4 million. And then we also received TIP amendments from Chatham Area Transit. This is a new project page for the CAT low or no emission grant funding table. So CAT just received new grant funds for low emission, no emission electric vehicles, and so this is adding that into the TIP. And so in total for this project, the total cost is $9.7 million. Chatham Area Transit will provide a local match that is $1.8 million, and then the federal portion of this is $7.89 million. And so that was the final TIP amendment. The rest of these attachments are some of the public notices that we did. We also had to do an additional public notice because of Hurricane Debbie for this as well. And then also just some of our the other required attachments for this, which if you're interested in it, you can review all of this as well.
Questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
How are, or if they are at all, the additional funding that the state announced being accounted for in the TIP?
The additional funding?
The funding for I-16, the funding for 21, the funding for Benton Boulevard, that sort of thing. Are they being are those additional funds being accounted for anywhere in the TIP or
or maybe the financially constrained list?
Wakota, do you think you can answer that question?
Doesn't GDOT have to let us know where that's coming from?
The TIP amendments cannot happen until we adopt the 2050 MTP plan.
Gotcha.
Remember, we just adopt the plan.
Right.
So that makes these projects eligible for TIP.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, but even in that though, we're going to GDOT for that, the monies that he's talking about, the additional monies that he's talking about is, didn't the state give it to GDOT?
No, I think Joe is over here from Federal Highway for the grants. Actually, they have to sign individual agreements with the grantees.
Grantee?
So actually, I think.
Let him come and let him come and give us some clarification.
So the discretionary grants are separate from your normal formula
right.
funds. Those are applied to and awarded individually to the applicants. Those funds are not, the reason there was a comment on that MTP is because there really shouldn't be discretionary funding in that fiscally constrained plan because that money can only be used for the projects they're awarded for.
Right.
These grants have individual grant agreements. Everything is accounted for in there. And for planning purposes, we ask that you guys include it in your plan, mainly as an informational purpose.
Just for information. All right. But execution actually comes between the federal folks and whoever the, if it's Effingham County, if it's Chatham County, if it's the city of Savannah.
So that, correct. That right. Volterra project, that was with the port directly
right.
between Federal Highway and the port.
Okay.
I'm not involved on that one, so I can't say exactly who, but that is between those two parties.
All right. Well, Jamie didn't invite us to the party, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nice to meet you, Jamie. Any other questions?
Any questions? Anybody else now? Anything else? All right. Let me ask this. Thank you. Let me ask this. I noticed that we said that the fueling or the, I don't know, I guess you call it electric stuff, fueling is, recharging stations. Is that what you call them? Charging stations? All right.
EV charging stations.
Yeah, EV charging stations.
And we said somewhere near the port. Is that because we haven't identified where yet?
We don't know. We don't know the details. Jamie might know because that's why it's a pilot program, right? So they have to determine where.
You going to let us know?
It's not that.
I can't let you know because
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
There's two grants.
Right.
Our name is attached to both of them. We had nothing to do with the Volterra grant.
Right.
They had hoped to put up a charging station in Garden City, but that project was not permitted. So they're still looking for an alternative location. The one that we are involved with, the second one that she presented, is an offset for the increased cost of the fuel versus regular diesel. And so that'll all be done fueling the port trucks on site.
Okay.
The hell?
Yeah. That's me being nosy now. Uh-huh. All right. I'll tell you what it is. That's me being nosy. And the reason I'm being nosy is because I think that folks like, besides Garden City, I think Port Wentworth and Pula and the city of Savannah, all right, because all of you butt heads in that little space there that the county calls the third district, all right, and you know how the third district is wired up, okay, and so it may say close to the port, but it might be in your jurisdiction, so I'm just giving you a heads up by me butting in, all right? I'm just letting you know stuff I know. So I hope you all take it for what I'm saying it for. All right, you go ahead, Don.
So that was the end of this. So we need to open for a public hearing, and then if there's no public comment, then we'll move
all right.
for adoption.
Let me have a motion to open up public hearing.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Second, Mr. Chairman. Milton.
All right, properly motion and second that we open the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by casting from my left.
Milton, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Cody, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callahan, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Maines, yes.
Chairman, yes. Public hearing is now open. Do we have anyone from the public on the raise hand feature?
No one in the public. I want to clarify, we do have 9 panelist members. They have the right to unmute and mute themselves on and off, so.
Right.
I don't think so. Anyone of them wants to speak except.
Actually, Dr. Shabazz would like to speak. I've told her to unmute herself. I was just getting ready to ask him if she's been able to unmute herself. That's been one of the issues that she's having a hard time.
Miss Wilson, am I unmuted?
Yes, you're unmuted now.
All right.
I can hear you.
Good morning. I know we can't go back because the vote has already been taken on the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So I'll just make just a comment. Thank you so much, Ms. Wakota Wang, for doing such a fantastic job in the reporting and also with the updates that has been requested by the public and by the board. I'll wait for my other comments later. Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman.
You're welcome. All right. Is there anyone else? Nobody else?
No, sir.
All right. Anyone in the audience want to comment on any of this? If not, let me have a motion to close the public hearing.
Move to close the hearing. Palumbo.
Second, Milton.
A proper motion and second that we close the public hearing and ready for the question. Please cast your vote starting to my right.
Means, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Townend, yes.
Walker, yes.
Cody, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Milton, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. With that, may I have a motion to adopt the recommendation?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the recommendation. Palumbo.
Hutcherson, second.
Proper motion and second that we adopt the recommendation and the resolution or the solutions or whatever, the certificate. All right. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my left.
Milton, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Cody, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callahan, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Means, yes.
All right. Chairman, yes. So adopted. So move. All right. We good?
Yes. Thank you.
Ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. Who's doing the FY25? That's you, Wakota.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to talk about the 2025 UPWP amendments. Mm-hmm. Just want to let you know that every year, the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee issues call for plans. Basically, they have grants available for studies and the plans. So normally it's in March and September. So there are two opportunities for us to submit grants applications. And and all of those plans and studies that we want to submit the application for have to be included in the UPWP. So that's why we started the UPWP early in the process. We do call for plans and studies. So in the current 2025 UPWP, which you adopted in February, actually included a bunch of unfunded studies at that time. And then we went through several rounds of discussion by TCC, the Technical Coordinating Committee, and then decided that we want to do three. We want to apply for funding for three studies. So that means that we have to double check the scopes, double check the cost estimates before we submit the applications. And then if there are changes, we have to amend the UPWP. So we actually went back and then have a discussions and then did, find out that there are some changes. So these are studies, US 80 scoping study, because we finished the first phase in Chatham County and this phase is requested by Effingham County. And the second one is urban flooding model phase two, because we finished the first one. And the second phase is also in expanded areas, Effingham County and Bryan County. And the third one that we want to do is bicycle and pedestrian facility study. That will help us to finalize the non-motorized transportation plan, because we want to do an inventory of the conditions, including like lighting connection, like even trash receptacles for the bicycle and pedestrian facilities that we have over here. That will help us identify like specific recommendations for improvements for bike path improvements. So we decided to apply for funding for these three studies, and the deadline is August 22nd. So we have to make sure that all the documentation is done before we submit applications. So I just want to mention that in the unfunded section of the 2025 UPWP, we do have the three studies, But since we have the updates and we need to update the UPWP, amend the UPWP for that information. For the first project, the urban flooding model study, the scope has a little bit changed. Previously, we just mentioned, yeah, yes, we did the phase one, but now we add not only to do the second phase in the expanded areas, like in Effingham County and Bryan County, but we also want to add something so for like training program. So develop some kind of training program. So the urban flooding model that was developed for first phase, every municipality is able to use it, but So we want to have some kind of a training program, training module, so that the study results will benefit all of us.
Let me give you the exact place to start. I'm glad you said that, because since we had, when was that, last week we had the briefing on this, right? We've got brand new mayors, all right?
Yes.
We've got brand new city managers, okay? And they may can't catch this August thing this year, but you can prepare them for next time around, because the demand throughout this county for the way we will have to change transportation and road projects and biking projects, right? They need to be brief on what the process is for UPWP, all right? And so I think that when you talk about having a workshop and being educating them, I think you ought to start with those newly elected people. All right. Even if you look up into, doesn't Effingham, won't they have a new commissioner, chairman coming in? See, so I'm saying that's your starting point right there. You need to gather those folks in and let them understand when we're talking about the TIP and the WPW, I mean the UPWP, you need to understand what you're talking about.
Yeah,
If I may, Mr. Chairman, we basically meet with all the individual newly elected officials to make sure that we do individual training. In addition, I think that it is a great suggestion that we might want to do some type of workshop for everybody. It gives everybody an opportunity to meet each other. The other thing is that as part of phase one of the urban flooding model, and I'm glad that you all supported us moving forward with that. I know there was some apprehension initially because Lord knows we need it based on what's been going on. We developed the program in partnership with the Carl Vinson Institute that is taught at DEMA for all of the elected officials statewide. And the people that participate in that can sign up for that as well. And we hope to extend that to go into more detail about what it means and resources and things of that nature. So that's one of the reasons that this is important to have that education portion, but it also was going to allow us to work with the staffs, because while the elected officials need to understand and know about these resources, the staff also needs to have an understanding about what's available, and how, this model works. So,
that's why I mentioned the new city managers that's coming up as well as the new elected officials that's coming up. And I think now, I can't control your scheduling, nor can I control your timing, but I think, the sooner the better. All right. Because, you have to understand when it leaves here, even when we put an application, it's a competitive thing for the whole country. All right. And so sometimes in order to get monies brought into our pocket, and when I say our pocket, I'm talking about all the municipalities and all of the counties who are located in the core MPO, all right? You have to get your federally elected officials in play, all right, so that they can put your name in the hat and they can be in the back room where the money is being divvied up. You're not in there, all right? You're not in that room, but they're in that room. So sometimes you have to borrow the resources of, and I'm just going to, I hope I don't get in trouble, but you, for instance, Georgia has, Congressman Bishop and some others who are there. All right. They don't represent our area, but in order to get a vote through, all right, we've got to ask them to be supportive of our federal representative or our senators. See, so you have to know how to make that connection. That's the reason I'm saying that. And knowing that it's competitive, and knowing what's facing Chatham, Bryan, Effingham, and Bullock County as far as improvements are concerned, we need to do like a sprint to get in, to get involved and to get some of the monies that's being floated. Because I'm telling you, if you miss, somebody else got your money. Or the money you could get, somebody else got it. And I know who runs a real fast race. Them folks out of Colorado. A lot of money go to Colorado because they run fast. All right. We need to catch up. And that's the only reason I'm saying that. And I think the place to start is to start with those of us who are new to this board, those of us who are newly elected, those of us who have been newly hired, that staff. When I talk about the managers.
Yeah, we used to do orientation for but we can probably schedule one.
I was just going to say the other thing too is we want to make sure that we get not only the newly elected folks, but sometimes we try not to be premature because some of those positions have not been finalized. The other thing is that through CERN, which is the Coastal Empire Resiliency Network, that covers all the counties that you mentioned as well as several others. We've got seven counties involved. We're in the process of working on a training program with that. And we will make sure that we send that out as well to the elected officials just to learn a little bit more about resiliency as well as, some of the other things that impact flooding. So, we are definitely going to be on it. And thank you for the suggestion. We will look at having, an additional meeting or summit.
Well, I'm just putting it out there because I know that our senators and congressmen now are working on upcoming budgets. See, and you need to talk to them now. So you need to have something you want to put in here.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll just continue. For this urban flooding model phase two, the other change, actually we didn't have any budget change. So the budget is still 150,000, but the scope has changed a little bit. And then the US 80 scoping study in Effingham County, the major change is the cost estimate. Previously it has $225,000 and we decided that based on this revised scope, we will apply for 260 because Effingham County will come up with the local match. And then for the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, well, remember Asia mentioned the first ever Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. One of their mission was to oversee this study if we do get the funding. So their first meeting, they actually review the project description over here, the scope and the cost estimate. And so they revised a lot of the language included in the UPWP and also revised the cost estimate, so increase it to $300,000. So we are going to apply for $240,000. So this UPWP amendment just to pave way for our grant application. So this is one of the necessary document to support the grant application. So we would request that you adopt or approve the UPWP amendments so that we can submit applications.
Okay. So now, can I have a motion to adopt?
Make a motion to approve Callanan.
Second.
All right, properly motion second that we approve the amendments for the UPWP. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes to my right.
Maines, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Walker, yes.
Cody, yes.
Tegley, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Milton, yes.
The chairman, yes. All
okay.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. And then the next item is actually the actual application material we're going to submit to GDOT and the Federal Highway Administration and the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee. And this is the grant application for the bicycle and pedestrian facility study. We actually incorporated comments from the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee meeting and then the Technical Coordinating Committee and then also GDOT. They want us to change the project start date. So they basically want us to have like 2 years. So we changed the original to April 2025 to March 20. So and then all of the information scope is consistent with the UPWP. And then you have the project area. And then you have the resolution. The chairman will sign 8 resolutions today, and this is one of those. And then we have the local fund availability letter. So this is for that one. And the second one, that urban flooding one, so you can see this is the application that we have prepared. So the information is consistent with the UPWP, including the cost estimate, and you have the boundary map, and then you have the resolution, and then you have the local commitment availability letter. And for Effingham County, the US 80 scoping study, and this is the application materials that we prepared, and you also have the project location. So you have the segments of US 80 in Effingham County, and you have the resolution. The chairman is going to sign another resolution. This is one of the other one. And then Effingham County is committing local match letters. So as soon as we got the chairman's signature, we're going to forward all of these three, including UPW amendments today, to the Georgia PO Funds Review Committee. So hopefully we will get the grant application so that we can start to do the RFP process.
All right.
So we will ask you to approve that we submit the attached grant application to the Georgia PO Funds Review Committee.
All right, let me have a motion to we forward the grant application.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. This is Tanya Milton.
Second, Mr. Hutcherson.
Properly motion and second that we send forth the grant application. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting to my left.
Milton, yes.
Hutcherson, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Cody, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callahan, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Means, yes.
Chairman, yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, under other business, I want to mention two things. One is we issued a call for plans and studies for the next UPWP. So if you do have some plans or studies that you want to submit that information so that we can include that into the 2026 UPWP paving way for our grant application in the future. And the second thing is we're going to work with all of you to up classify some of the roadway functional classifications to make them to be eligible for federal dollars. So we already coordinated with Richmond Hill. So Harris Trail Road and Port Royal Road will be on the list. Thunderbolt has already sent us the request that they already have the information for some roadways around the Savannah State University. I know City of Savannah has the Benton Boulevard that wants to reclassify from local roads to a higher classification. But any of you actually has certain roadways that you want to make sure they're eligible for federal dollars, please send us that information because we plan to send all of that information to GDOT in October.
So you need it by either the end of September or 1st of October?
We will probably work with your staff members to determine, I mean, which roadways you want to reclassify, and we will prepare the information, and then we will coordinate it with GDOT.
But ideally, it would be great to get it by the end of September.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff. We'll talk a little bit about the federal certification review, but if we can get it by September, it just...
Yes.
Would help.
So if you would send that to all the mayors and managers?
We'll send
them a letter and let them know.
We will.
To all the mayors and managers. And then we can push for them to get it in. Okay. Some of the things they got to do now, better take every avenue you can get.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now are you ready for a status report? Am I right?
Presentation on the federal certification review, but if you had any more questions, and Joe Mill might answer those. So every 4 years, the Quorum PO gets reviewed by the Federal Highway Administration and the Federal Transit Administration. So I always say there are two important things for us to receive a federal dollars from Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration. One is that we get certified. Second one, we have adopted long range transportation plan. And this is one of the pieces. So federal certification review. And this year, they are already doing the desk review, because we actually created a website. So if you go over to the Quorum PO website, so you can click on all of these and they're reviewing all of the documents that are included in this bubbles over here. And then they will have a site review, on October 29th and to October the 30th. And on the first day, at the end of the first day, we will have a public meeting. And then on the second day, they want to probably meet with the elected officials. So I would let Joe to talk more about this.
Please do.
So what CODA did cover most of what I was hoping to talk to you all about, but one thing we do like to do is request and have the opportunity to meet with you all, right? The federal review team is mainly myself, a few subject matter experts from my office, and then FTA as well. We also have some support from headquarters, but they likely will not be able to make that meeting. But yeah, we would hope to have that meeting on the 30th, which is the second day of the site visit, where we've had most of our discussions. The desk review's been wrapped up. And we would like your feedback on what you think has been working well, where you think there's areas of improvement, you know, opportunities, just a general open discussion with us without the staff involved. All your feedback from the public, the desk review, all that will be captured in our report. But at least we'll take it into consideration, and then we'll come up with our recommendations, best practices, corrective actions if that happens. Hopefully not, right? Not sure if I'm missing anything. Any questions for me?
What time is the meeting? What time are you planning on meeting on the 30th?
So that's something I was gonna work out with my CODA to actually formally reach out to you all and set that part up. But it's usually just about an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
But morning, afternoon doesn't really matter. We can work around you guys on that second day, on the 30th.
All right, because the reason I'm asking you about what time, right, is because Wakota, if you come back up and flip down to all the money sources, you got them all in a little, go back a couple of bars.
Oh, the bubbles?
Yeah, go back to the bubble.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I'm gonna put it plain. All right. That's where the money is at. What you're looking at now on your screen, that's where the money is. All right. So when they come on the 30th, we need to be able to talk to them. You need to have. So I think that all the mayors and managers in our core area for MPO, I think all of them need to be invited to be at that meeting when they're going to be here. All right.
Yeah, we will send out the invitation as soon as we finalize the time. Yeah.
And tell location. Them, yeah, as soon as you get time and then tell them how important it is for them to be here.
And we will set up a half day just so that everybody, because everybody has different schedules, will be able to participate in this process and try to encourage them for the 30th. And we'll get with the feds to find out if they want that half day to be first thing in the morning or in the afternoon.
Okay.
But we will definitely make sure that everybody is invited to participate in that.
Yeah, invite them and then do it in such a way, in such a time frame until even if we have to send reminders, they need to be here. All right.
That's why I generally in previous organizations will set up a half day that gives everybody the opportunity to participate and have that fit within their schedule. And if I can just take just a bit of personal privilege, I really want to give an opportunity to thank, you know, Wakota and Asia on our team, as well as the rest of the folks that have been learning about MPOs. You know, everybody within the MPC has been working diligently to make sure that we get these projects done on time. With having a certification coming up, it's kind of double work. It came up a little early this year from a timing standpoint, but they have been working, you know, the team has been working nonstop to make sure that we get these updates and that we get the plan done, on time. So I just want to publicly thank them and acknowledge them for their hard work.
Yeah. And same here. All right. Same from up here. We thank you all for what you are doing and how you do it. All right. We might seem grumpy sometime, but we don't mean no harm.
Yeah, thank you. I actually want to mention that our IT, Hind actually helped us to create all of the website. So I really appreciate that help.
Is there anything else we need to know from you?
Just also wanted to say congratulations on the adoption of your MTP. I know that was a major milestone. And I did mean to say thank you to the staff. This website was a great idea. This is actually a best practice already that's going to be in that report. These are the types of things that other MPOs around the state, around the country, do recognize core MPO as best practices. You guys are recognizing reports, guidance all the time. I just want to say thank you, not only to the staff, but for all of you too. and that this is a review not just of the staff, but as how the MPO operates as a whole. So this is, you know, this is great work, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. All right. Anything else, huh?
Thank you. That's my report. That's it.
Ready to move on? Okay. I'll be giving the presentation on the status report on the participation plan update. So the participation plan is another required MPO document. So this plan describes the strategies and techniques that the Coastal Region MPO uses to inform and engage the public in transportation planning issues. And we do this with the purpose of maximizing participation and effectiveness. So again, this plan is a required MPO document. It has to be updated every 3 years. The last update was in 2021. So now we're kicking off this new update that will be completed in fall of 2024. So the plan is going to be informed by the MTP. And it also impacts the MTP, TIP, all of our other planning products, and vice versa. So we use the participation plan to guide how we do public participation with the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, TIP, and any other studies or work that we do here. So we are updating this participation plan and using a lot of what we learned in the MTP to inform this plan update. Into the important dates. So the project has finally kicked off at the beginning of August, and we are aiming to have a 45-day public comment and review period starting September 3rd and ending October 18th. And then we're aiming for the adoption date to be October 23rd at the October MPO meeting. And then I've also provided a link to the current participation plan if anyone is interested in reading this. But so we're still kind of chugging along, doing a lot of work. So even though the MTP is done, we still have a lot of other stuff going on at the MPO. And that is the end of this status report. Are there any questions?
Any questions? All right, let me ask you to do all of us a favor.
Mm-hmm.
If you will send to every municipality and everyone involved, send them the dates for the public comment so that they can put it on their website and whatever else media they use, social media they use, so that the public is informed that the public comment date is during that time. All right. If you send that to all of them, and if I need to send from the chairman's seat, if I need to send them a memo or something, or encouraging them to get their constituents to focus in on that September 3rd through the October 18th date. All right. So we meet. And the reason I say that is because you don't want to have to send the participation plan and other plans to the state and federal people, and we only got four or five people who come in. You know, that looks like you're not getting the information out. Okay, so we're going to try to booster the public comment period during that time. All right, so if you all can put it on your website or put it on whatever, or whatever way you think you need to get it out to your constituents, all right, and know what the issues are and what their issues are, because sometimes the way we see things is not the way the public see things, and so we need to know the difference between the two of them. Comment? Go ahead.
Thank you. I will also be giving the status report for the Title VI plan update. This is another required MPO document. It is our non-discrimination plan. It's also a document that we update periodically on a 3-year timeline. So the previous update of our Title VI plan was in 2021, and now we are doing a new update, and it's going to be on the same timeline as the participation plan. So we're aiming for it to be completed and adopted in the fall of 2024. So similar to the participation plan, again, we started this update process in August 1st. It's going to be the same public comment period of September 3rd to October 18th. And then we're also aiming to have it adopted at the October 23rd Court and PO Board meeting. And then I also provided a link to the Title VI plan. And this plan essentially helps guide us in terms of ensuring that we are complying with different civil rights laws, equity, and everything involved with the Civil Rights Act.
Okay.
Are there any questions?
Questions? Okay.
Okay.
Hold on.
Move on to the non-motorized transportation plan status report. This will just be very short. So the non-motorized transportation plan is a document that addresses the development of bike and pedestrian infrastructure in the Corumpio area. And the goal of this plan is to identify new projects, assess the needs of the community, and set new goals for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So this plan update is still ongoing. It had to be put on hold just to adopt the MTP because that was the larger and more important document at the time. But now that plan has been adopted, we can jump right back into working on the non-motorized transportation plan update. So this will be the first collaborative task of the new Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. So the BPAC will oversee this plan update until its adoption. So the aim is to adopt this plan before the end of 2024. In terms of what we've done so far with this plan, so staff has compiled data, identified projects, and is drafting a project ranking methodology. And so all of this information will be reviewed by the BPAC, and we will ensure that everything is addressed holistically in terms of the development of bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. So this plan is still ongoing. I'm still trying to identify a specific adoption date, but with all these other plans going on, we're trying to see what timeline works best for this non-motorized transportation plan update.
Okay.
Are there any questions?
Questions? Okay.
Good morning. My name is Tommy Croce. I'm with VHB, or Consulting Engineering and Planning Firm. Appreciate being here today. We've been working with Chatham County on a corridor study along State Route 204. And today I want to give you a briefing on this, what we've been doing, some things we're looking at, some alternatives we're considering. And we're doing it at this time is because we're planning to hold a public information open house towards the end of September or early October, getting that date scheduled now, and just kind of want to go over things with you so that you'll have a sneak preview of what we're going to be talking to the public about, soliciting their input. We'll go through these items fairly quickly, and I'll be ready to entertain questions as we go along. Quick background on the corridor. I'm sure y'all are all somewhat familiar with the corridor. We're looking to develop solutions to problems along the corridor. We know we deal with a lot of congestion on that corridor, a lot of delays, queuing of traffic. We know there's a good bit of crashes along the corridor, so we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that today. And then what are we trying to do? Our goals are basically let's reduce congestion and see what we can do to minimize or reduce crash frequency and severity of crashes as well. The corridor that we're looking at, State Route 204, Abercorn Extension from State Route 25, US 17, Ogeechee Road, down to through the King George Boulevard interchange with State Route 204. We know the corridor well. We're focusing primarily on the Ford Avenue intersection. It's an unsignalized median opening at this location. And the Pine Grove Drive intersection, it's a signalized intersection median at that location. High level on the traffic volumes, traffic has been growing, you know, somewhat steadily out along this corridor for quite some time. Existing volumes, we almost have about 60,000 vehicles per day. We expect it to be higher than 60,000 vehicles a day on this corridor by 2030. And by 2050, we're seeing about 75,000 vehicles a day. The 60,000 vehicles a day is kind of a key point when you're talking about typical freeway facilities. 60,000 is about your capacity for a four-lane freeway. So as you cross over that threshold, you start to see more friction in the corridor during peak periods simply from the volumes, even if you don't have any intersections along the corridor. Crashes, we have crashes kind of all throughout the corridor. The hot spots are at the signalized intersection at Pine Grove Drive, as well as the intersections of the 204 ramps at US 17, and then some other spotty locations. A lot of those other crash sites are associated with rear ends or side swipes that are a result of the congestion and the queuing in there. A good bit of those are. Crash rates, I'm not going to go through all these numbers, but the point I'm going to make here is because part of this corridor is a freeway with only limited access with high-speed ramps to allow acceleration onto the freeway or deceleration off of the freeway, and part is operates as an arterial roadway with signalized intersections, or in our case, we have an unsignalized intersection as well. So we've compared the number of crashes with the volumes to statewide averages for arterial roadways and for the freeways. So we have less a crash rate that's lower than the arterial roadways, but a good bit double that for a freeway. So that's kind of indicating because it's part freeway and part arterial. And what we're hinting at here is if you convert it fully to a freeway, you could expect less crashes and handle more volume. So that's part of some of our alternatives do that. So existing operations, I have a few slides here, but I'm just going to talk over this. We've already talked about what is going on in the corridor. We've got the two interchanges at 17 and King George on either end. And then we have the unsignalized intersection at Ford and the signalized intersection at Pine Grove Drive. We know that signal at Pine Grove Drive backs up traffic in the morning. Traffic routinely backs up all the way to US 17 and down US 17, varying distances. In the afternoons, we know that the traffic backs up from that signal past King George, often past Veterans Parkway, sometimes all the way up to Rio Road and beyond. So what are we considering along this corridor? I mentioned earlier that the volumes on the four-lane roadway are getting near capacity. So obviously widening 204 through this section is definitely a consideration. Improvements to the interchange ramps, where we can make them, we're looking at that. We're considering closing the medians at Ford Avenue and Pine Grove Drive, of course. We're looking at what we're labeling here as mini ramps, but basically acceleration and deceleration lanes to allow that traffic to change speed, exiting 204 before they turn on to those side streets, as well as to be able to accelerate, get up to the speed on 204 so that you've got a safer merge and entering that traffic at the same speed. We're considering possibly adding a U-turn capability underneath the bridge over US 17. That would allow U-turning traffic to not go through the signalized intersections on US 17, but would be able to just free flow from going westbound and going eastbound to get back. And we'll explain why that's important. And then we consider, is there room for another interchange on this corridor? And we've got a present, you know, an alternative handling that. Quickly, we've developed some short-term alternatives. We've got three that we've put on the table for now. And we have three long-term alternatives as well that we'll talk about. So alternative A, as I talked about earlier, would simply close the median at Ford Avenue. The volumes there are much lower than Pine Grove Drive. Maintain a signal at Pine Grove Drive, but widen from US 17 to the King George ramps to six lanes to add more capacity through that signalized intersection. Alternative B would close both of those intersections at Ford and Pine Grove. We would also do some improvements to the westbound exit ramp to US 17 with that as well. Of course, closing those would require people who are in the Pine Grove Drive area, including Sweetwater Station and those folks who live and work off of Ford Avenue would only have right in, right out at those intersections. So if you wanted to make a left out of there, you would have to go to the right, U-turn at either interchange and go to your destination. Alternate C kind of builds on alternate B. We're closing both of those median openings. We're making the improvement at that westbound ramp, and we're including that provision for having that free flow U-turn under the US 17 bridge. In comparing those alternatives, I'm not going to go into great detail. Alternative A really doesn't solve anything from a crash perspective. In fact, that would probably see an increase in crashes as you go to a wider signalized intersection. That may induce more crashes. But the other two, by closing the medians, we would see the crashes get closer to those statewide freeway averages, instead of being between the arterial averages and the freeway. Environmental impacts, community impacts really are minimal. We do recognize and understand that we may change travel time for folks to get to and from their homes or businesses to the destinations they want to go to along 204 and other places. And we're trying to find ways to mitigate that change in travel time. That U-turn capability under 17 is one of those ways to mitigate that for them. So we're looking for those opportunities. Cost-wise, that widening is about $30 million. The alternative B, simply closing the medians, doing the improvement for that westbound off-ramp to US 17, about $5 million, adding that U-turn capability on top of alternative B, as outlined in alternative C, we're looking at about $10 million and stuff. So we are considering adding an alternative D to show to the public. Alternative D would include putting in some acceleration and deceleration lane capability at Pine Grove Drive because the volumes there are higher. We have the ability to do that without widening any bridges or building big retaining walls, those kind of things. So we're considering adding an alternative D there as a short-term project. On the long-term side, kind of similar, alternative J would widen State Route 204 from four to six lanes, close both median openings, have the U-turn capability at US 17 and the improvements. We'd actually be able to do more improvements to some of the ramp terminals with State Route 204 with that one. Alternative K would just take that alternative J a little bit further and include those acceleration lanes at both Pine Grove Drive and Ford Avenue. And then Alternative L would actually construct a grade-separated interchange at Pine Grove Drive and would still close the Ford Avenue median opening. The comparison of those alternatives, seeing much higher safety benefits on all those alternatives, travel time along 204, obviously a huge reduction in delay along 204. Of course, some inconvenience to travel time for folks living along Pine Grove Drive, Sweetwater Station, as well as Ford Avenue. Cost for these, we're looking at about $36 million for just widening to six lanes, basically, and closing those median openings, adding those acceleration, deceleration lanes. That's about $58 million. For that, and then the interchange options, almost $100 million. So that's what we're looking at there. We've looked at and considered a lot of alternatives. I actually did a study along this corridor for GDOT back in the starting around 2006, 2007, 2008, and we looked at a whole bunch more alternatives, put them on paper, brought them to the public, talked to them about it. So we're gonna finish documenting some of these alternatives, and we've recently heard about a couple more alternatives that's coming from the public that we'll look at and consider, and if we deem that it's a practical alternative, we think that can solve the issues we're trying to solve, the congestion and safety, while continue to provide access to everybody out there. We'll definitely take that into consideration, but we're going to document these alternatives and be able to talk to the public about some of the ones we've kind of already dismissed as either not providing enough benefit or being too costly or too impactful to the community or the environmental resources. So here's our schedule. We're here in the summer talking to y'all. We've started some stakeholder meetings. We plan to have that public meeting into September or early October. After that meeting, if we have some key stakeholders, if the homeowners associations would want to talk a little more in detail with us one-on-one, we'll be happy to entertain that. We're going to be meeting with the emergency services folks, fire and police, in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we're trying to get that meeting set up. Once we have those meetings, we'll circle back, with our partners. The county, of course, city of Savannah has been at the table, and of course, GDOT, since this is their roadway, and they'll have to approve any improvements along the roadway that we propose. We'll refine which alternatives we want to kind of carry forward, and we'll develop more detailed layouts that show, on aerial photography, the impacts, the more details of what those improvements are, what property impact we might have, what environmental impacts we might have, document that again, and then we come back out to the public in the spring, brief the core TCC and the board. We're targeting the March meetings for that, and then have another public meeting in the April, May timeframe. And then hopefully we'll be able to give you final recommendations in the summer of next year. Any questions?
All right, question.
Thank you for your presentation. I have some anxious residents listening. And the first question is, does Pine Grove, the name Pine Grove, which is the entrance into Grove Hill, is that the same name across the street as it enters into Sweetwater?
It is, as best as we can tell, but because there's no addresses on the section between 204 and Grove Point Road, but we believe that is considered Pine Grove Drive as well. Sweetwater Station Drive was established when that development was built, so that's south of Grove Point Road.
So, okay, so it's...
So the map is a little maybe confusing, but because of the scale of the map and the labels, it looks like we're calling it...
I was just considering that one of my constituents was concerned because in the presentation, and making the presentation to the public, they want to make sure the roads that you're speaking about.
Yeah.
And also, too, I just want to clarify the fact that we are going to have these recommendations will be presented in a public meeting so that they'll have comment and have an opportunity to comment and be considered.
Yeah. And, you know, as I've indicated, we not only want to absorb those comments from this first public meeting, we're going to go back, refine things, maybe add alternatives, maybe take away alternatives, study them in more details and go back to the public and let them
like
see what we've done.
Hear more about alternative D, if added. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, Ms. Jarrett.
Can you give me an idea of when the three laning or the six laning of the road would be necessary anyway? Based on growth?
Well, necessary is a challenging word.
Understood.
We live with a lot of roadways that are over capacity.
What level of service is it at now?
It depends on whether I'm looking at it as an arterial roadway with a signal or a freeway. As a freeway, if we have proper entrances, exits, we can tolerate it. It would be, 60,000 ADT. So assuming we close the median openings and we operate more like a freeway, it's going to operate at a very acceptable level of service, with maybe some friction at the ramps, but not too much from a basic lane capacity. As the volumes start approaching 70,000, you're going to want to start trying to program widening to.
And do we have an anticipated date for that volume of 70,000?
I think you're 15, 20 years out for that. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
One more.
Yes, ma'am.
You said 15 years out. That truck traffic is going to start from Veterans Parkway probably in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So are you looking at a projected time of 15 years that we will need those six lanes?
That's a pure kind of, engineering kind of judgment thing. I think getting those other improvements into the corridor before considering widening is a wise move along this corridor. Like I said, what we want is you probably want to get something on the ground to cure the backups that are happening now as quickly as you can. And funding's always the issue. You've got a lot of other competing projects on your MTP list that you just approved. And this is not one of them.
Don't tell my people that.
And the thing is that the difference in what you're saying though is there are two different things here. She's talking about the truck traffic.
Oh yeah.
You're talking about residents moving in there. You're talking about population explosion that's
coming. All
of
that,
See, and that's the difference between you're just talking about those trucks coming and going. He's saying, based upon the 15-year thing that he's talking about the growth of the community out there.
You are considering that new development that's going on in Georgetown right now. That's going to be the increase in the residents and the local traffic.
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff west, along Little Neck Road and all of that, everything going on down in Bryan County, all of that is entered into our anticipated growth in the volumes.
And there are about 9 of those subdivisions that are going to pop up that's not there now. So 9, and the smallest one is about 260 homes, and you go from 260 up to about 9,000. So, that's one of the things we're talking about as far as planning and getting to get the information because of the changes that's going to come. And you might as well see it now. Small changes going to come to the east side of Chatham County, but the large changes going to come to the west side. That's where it's coming. All right. Because that's where it is. That's where all the open land at. Open land is going to be covered after a while. It's not going to be open land anymore. All right. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Excuse me, sir. We do have Dr. Shabazz online. She would like to speak.
Dr. Shabazz.
Thank you so much. And your comments, Chairman, is a segue into the comments that I've been waiting to ask. Going back to what Ms. Wakota Wang was talking about in reference to the road reclassification, and I must say this, is that in taking in consideration about the road reclassification and talking about what you just stated, Mr. Chairman, due to what is happening right now and what is already projected in the very, very near future and 10, 20 years from now in the west of Savannah, the west of Chatham County, and I'm talking specifically in reference to looking at reclassification of roads for Canebrake Road, for Little Neck Road, for Quaco Road, and Dean Forest Roads. And I'm talking about in that boundary, in that perimeter of roads on the south of north of Highway 17 to the north of Interstate 16 and to the far west to the Chatham County line over at Canebrake Road and then over to Quaco Road. Those roads that are in the boundaries of that the border that I just stated are the roads that are going to be so impacted with you're talking about population growth. It is happening now. So I want to put this on the right in the middle of the table when we are talking about reclassification of roads. This has to be considered. The other thing that I wanted to talk about in reference to the non-motorized transportation plan status, and that is the concentration when we're talking about non-motorized transportation plans is we're concentrating, continue to concentrate. And as future plans are looking at concentration, we're not, again, not considering the west portion of the city of Savannah going to the end of the Chatham County line. And I'm talking specifically more from Bull Street, the center of Bull Street and Victory Drive, and moving all the way and considering all of the land from that point east to the far west, and considering when we are talking about non-motorized transportation plans, you all have got to consider that and put us in to the future plans when we're talking about bicycle lanes and all those things. We're having population growth, you know, out of this world, which is a good thing for all of us. The last thing I want to talk about, and that is in reference to the gentleman that's talking now, about the corridor, the SR 204 corridor. Now, what I'm about to say is not in the corridor, but I got to put it on the table. And that is the traffic intersection at Bradley Point Road and Highway 17. It's been talked about for the last past 12 years. I got to put it on the table, Chairman. Thank you so much. Those are my comments.
All right. And now let me say to you now, and I'll say it privately, and I'm not scared to say it publicly either. All right. Here's where the problem is. Bloomingdale's doing one thing. Poole is doing another. Savannah's doing another. Port Wentworth doing another. Garden City doing nothing. Nobody's doing anything together. But all these roads run through everybody's neighborhood. All right. If you look at 17, Quaco, Little Neck, John Carter, if you look at Bradley Point Road, and all those things connect back into one another. And so in order to get all the non-motorized things together and all, you got to come to the table and make sure that when we're planning, that we are planning to do things with the county engineers so that you cover the whole road. All right. And eventually you're going to have to call it the whole street because it's going to be urbanized. And so, we know those things are coming. And so the only center point is the county itself and the county engineering staff and the MPO. And that's where we need to work it out from and work with everybody in there and stop being lone wolves by ourselves. All right. And so I mean, you know, if we stayed alone with her, all we're going to do is push your problem into my problem and my problem into somebody else's problem. Because you fix one thing, you know, you don't fix the whole thing. And so we have to look at the whole thing. So I thank you for what you're doing and the timeline. There's a timeline within that presentation that has to take place. Anything else now for him? All right. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to be recognized as this is Deanna Brooks, chairperson for the TCC, to address Dr. Shabazz's comments.
Mm-hmm.
For the roads that she listed for concerns for functional classification, those currently meet the standards, at least the ones that she listed for funding types.
Mm-hmm.
So those aren't ones that we're currently concerned about. The non-motorized transportation plan, as Asia said, the BPAC committee is currently working on it, but there are plans for non-motorized all throughout the MPO region. And then I think the other one was Bradley at US 17. That will fall under the US 17 corridor study that is currently underway right now. So I just wanted to let you know that those are all being addressed through various projects.
But if they don't centralize it through you, then some are going to get missed. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Let's move on now with what we have next. A long time today. Okay. All right. We got GDOT. Are they online? They're not here. Okay, so let's go past GDOT. All right, let's go. Who next? Go back. All right. Got the county?
Yes. So just going through a few of the projects, we are moving into next steps for the I-16 at Jimmy Dulwich Parkway, State Route 17 project. We completed the value engineering study and the public information period. Chevis Road, we are moving into next steps for that one as well, working on preliminary plans. The Girard Avenue project, we are moving, trying to get right-of-way authorization, so that'll be the next step on that project. Green Island Road will be moving towards public input. Those are next steps on that project. You all heard about State Route 25 at the last meeting, State Route 204 we just discussed, the President Street at Truman study. We are hoping to present that one at our next MPO board meeting, and we will hopefully move into the public input period in September. So we'll make sure that everyone is aware of those meetings so that you can hear about those alternatives. But we also plan to be at the next MPO meeting. Safe Streets for All, we are currently in the public input phase. The online survey for that will end at the end of this month. Local pre-construction projects, the only one I wanted to note that's on here is the US 80 sidewalk project. We're currently working on the contract for that project to move out to construction, so that should be starting in the fall. Are there any questions about any of the Chatham County projects?
Any question? All right, let me ask you. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go back to President Street, Truman Parkway.
Yes, sir.
All right, you said that you plan on doing public input in September?
Yes, sir. We're working on the dates for that now.
All right, because I noticed now on here our next meeting, but you also mentioned by our next meeting.
Yeah, so that will be the public input, so presenting the alternatives to the public. We're going to aiming to have two community meetings, one probably on Whitmarsh Island and one in Savannah, just so we can offer two opportunities for folks to come out. But then presenting it to the MPO board will probably take place in October.
All right. So do we have a kind of date timeline when we're going to have those public?
I'm working on that right now. But yeah, it'll be September. But I'll make sure that information gets out when we get those scheduled.
All right. Get it to us. As soon as you can, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
All right, Chatham County, go to City of Savannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe Scherer, also with the City of Savannah. First project update is Project Duren, which I'll remind the board and the public. It's a six-lane major arterial connecting I-16 and Truman Parkway. serves as a critical east-west connection for all of Chatham County. The City of Savannah received an updated public involvement plan for Project Duren in June of 2024. That plan is currently under review by GDOT. Once approved, it will then be sent to Federal Highway for approval, and then we will initiate the additional required public outreach plan for Project Duren. Next project is the Lesseps Avenue. As a reminder, this project is incorporating the complete streets ordinance of the City of Savannah on De Lesseps Avenue, adding bicycle and sidewalks facilities and upgrading drainage infrastructure around the area. Construction is just under 30% complete, with sidewalk installation continuing to progress down the streetway. On June 27th, the City Council, Savannah City Council, allocated some additional funds to expand the drainage water and sewer capacity of this project. Truman Linear Park Trail, which is a phase of the Tied to Town concept, which is both a transportational and recreation project throughout the City of Savannah. City Council awarded the construction contract to JHC Corporation for a little over $8 million in February of this year, and the groundbreaking ceremony was held on July 1st. The pre-construction meetings for Truman Linear Trail will begin this month. Middle Ground Road, which is an additional segment of the Tied to Town concept. The city is currently in fee negotiations with the highest scoring proposer, and we anticipate the notice to proceed for design for the Middle Ground Road segment of Tied to Town in September of this year. The last update is the I-16 ramp removal project. An MOA between the City of Savannah and GDOT was approved by City Council last year, and the City of Savannah's matching funds have been accepted by GDOT. That scoping phase is underway and is forecasted to be completed midway through 2026. That completes the update, unless we have any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Questions?
I have a question.
All right, question.
I want to go back to Project Duren. The last time we talked, we were doing property acquisition. Is that complete with the plan that we had that I thought we were moving forward on Hampstead?
Unfortunately, the city cannot begin property acquisition until we receive a environmental impact statement from Federal Highway. Once we get that environmental impact statement, then we can progress into right-of-way acquisition. So, and Federal Highway has asked us to do additional public outreach before we will receive that environmental impact statement or a record of decision. So a few acronyms associated with it, a ROD or an FEIS, the environmental impact statement, record of decision. So we have not been able to move into the phase of property acquisition yet.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you, sir. Airport?
Yeah, the airport currently has four active construction projects. Our security checkpoint expansion is increasing the existing three security lanes to six, and we're coming close to our substantial completion date of December of this year. We're also expanding our fuel storage facility by 120,000 gallons. That project is about 50% complete, with the three 40,000 gallon tanks scheduled to be delivered the end of this month. We are expanding our auxiliary parking lot by nearly 1,000 spots. We are looking to phase the opening of those two lots, one for Thanksgiving of this year and one for Christmas of this year, with substantial completion estimated June of 2025. And we are constructing two air cargo sorting facilities north of Gulfstream Road. That project is just getting started. We'll be reaching out for a pre-construction meeting soon, and that's scheduled to be completed in March of 26. Are there any questions on any of those projects?
Questions from the airport?
All right. Let me ask something that's related, and I know you can't answer, but I got the engineer here, so they can tell me, okay? What's our status, Nathaniel? What's our status with Airway Avenue, Pooler Parkway, I-95? Where are we with that project?
I don't have a specific update. I know GDOT has started the scoping study. They've hired their consultant, and I have you heard of it? You did a preliminary meeting.
Yeah, they do stakeholder
meetings,
right
now.
That's what they're doing, stakeholders?
Yeah. So you're looking probably 18 to 24 months of this scoping phase level to get you where you're almost to a concept report. That'll get you your preferred alternative, and then they'll develop it further into a project.
Okay. All right. Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Kat?
Hi, it's Mary Moskowitz. I'm sorry I'm not able to be there in person with Chatham Area Transit. Just a brief update on our ferry boat maintenance facility. We are finalizing the engineering plans and permitting on that. Once that is complete, we will be able to issue the IFB invitation for bids on that project. On the dock, which is the new construction dock, we are waiting an issuance of the award for that project. For the paratransit maintenance facility, we are in our site selection process and completing our community outreach. We have attended a few community meetings and have a few more scheduled. You can go to catmobility.org if you want to make a comment. Once that community outreach is completed, we will be able to finalize the site selection and move on to the NEPA and concept work. For the electric bus, this is for those six new buses. You all approved the TIP amendment and MTP amendments for that, for the award that we were granted from the FTA this summer. Our other projects are still ongoing, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions for Kat? All right, hearing none. Thank you, ma'am. All right, ready to move on. We got from South Carolina a lot. What do we have? Someone on the line? Nobody's on the line? Okay. All right. Nobody on the board has any other comments they want to? If not, the next core MPO board meeting will be October 23rd, 2024 at 10 o'clock. All right. With that, we'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Count in.
Second, right. Walker.
The motion is second. Are you ready for a question? Please signify from my left.
Milton, yes.
Hutcherson, yes. Melder, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Means, yes.
All right. And the chairman, yes. And the only comments I'm going to say, since I see you have it on here, is that we have the funds that come with the railroad elimination plan. So, the county and the Ports Authority and CSX, all right, we'll be executing those things in the upcoming days. Have a great day.